We begin with prayer. Thou art the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow. Amen. Dear children of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus our Lord and Savior, the scripture that I wish to bring to your attention and your contemplation is recorded by the Holy Spirit, the prime data recover agent for God. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This morning I'm your tour guide into that wild country east of the Jordan Valley, and we'll be paying close attention to these assaults of Satan on Jesus in that desert. This is the first of a series of other, two more coming. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. First word is then. Like what happened before that? Then? Well, then, right after the Father had declared, after Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan, the Father declared, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was readied not only to be in conflict with Satan, but to beat him. We're not told how many days the temptations went on, how long Satan poked and prodded him day in and day out during those 40 days. But after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now that in itself is rather hard to imagine, because I don't know if anyone, even on a diet, goes 4 days without eating, let alone 40. That's an Olympic record. Now the Lenten season is 40 days long in commemoration of the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness. You probably knew that. And we are headed for Good Friday now, although that lay in advance yet for Jesus for a number of years. We're headed for Good Friday during this Lenten season because that's when Jesus atoned for the sins of the whole world, for all sinners like you and me, paying the price that nobody else could pay. For the death of God the Son carries supreme value. Therefore, when Jesus successfully counterattacked Satan, Jesus was not redeeming us at that point from Satan, from death and hell. For redeeming us came on Good Friday and Easter morning. So John Milton had it wrong when he figured that paradise regained, by Jesus in these three victories over Satan in the desert, in the wilderness, where we are touring today. It surprised me some decades ago at the University of Eau Claire here, when an English professor lecturing on John Milton and his epic poem, Paradise Regained, informed our class that the correct biblical doctrine about being redeemed, restored, and forgiven depended on Calvary and Easter rather than on Jesus beating Satan during those 40 days or those last of 40 days in the wilderness. And that professor was correct, of course. Nonetheless, these three temptations of Jesus were important for Jesus and for us. First, they proved that Jesus merited his Father's wholehearted support. Second, Jesus proved he was not only a Son of God, but the Son of God in the specific sense of being the only begotten Son of God, third person of the Holy Trinity, on his way to Calvary and Easter. And third, it proved that Satan's word can be trashed by the word of God. So let's watch and listen for a few minutes how Satan put Jesus to the test and how Jesus trashed Satan. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, since Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was famished, Satan figured he could capitalize on that by teasing Jesus with some food right at hand. If Jesus would just bend a little, be a little more flexible, be a little more self-serving. Now think it through. Why was Jesus not more self-serving? Because being self-serving would sabotage his holy commitment to serve others rather than serve himself. And Matthew 20, 28 comes to mind. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, Satan wouldn't dare to put it the way we would put it. Jesus, why were you so self-sacrificing all the time? Jesus was self-sacrificing all the time because he had our salvation in mind all the time. He had you and me in mind all the time, not only for the 40 days of Lent, but for ever and ever, from eternity to eternity. So when the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread," he was trying to lure Jesus into an ambush, of course. I think Satan was not so much questioning whether Jesus really was a Son of God, but rather, with your skill and your ability and your power to perform miracles like changing stones into bread, nice round loaves of sourdough, "Explain this to me," he says. "Explain to me if you can." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God.'" Deuteronomy 8:3. So Jesus parried that sword thrust of the Satan with the spirit of the sword of the Spirit. And Satan had no chance against the word of God, for it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. So, of course, Jesus was bound heart and soul, committed to live faithfully and entirely according to God's will and his word. And back in Moses' day, there was a similar situation that mirrored what was going on here, as the context of Deuteronomy 8 reveals. Quote, "Remember the whole journey on which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. So he humbled you and allowed you to be hungry in order to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. QED. Now, as to application, when Satan sidles up to you today or tomorrow, and he's going to do it, suggesting that you deserve more than you're getting, that there is little benefit for you in being self-sacrificing, in loving God and your neighbor more than yourself. So when Satan needles you, you should resist him with the word of God, and he'll turn tail and flee. In Ephesians 6, the Holy Spirit puts it this way: put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and at all times hold up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Close quote. God grant it. Amen. Let us join in hymn 144, stanzas 1 and 2.